On the line with us live, a guy who's been around a lot of NFL drafts, 30 years in NFL personnel, former director of college scouting for the Chicago Bears. He worked for the Bills. He worked for the Giants. Greg Gabriel, Western New York native, on the line with us from his home in Chicago. Hi, Greg. How are you tonight?
I'm doing real good, Murph. How about you?
Great. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Do you know what I mean? I wish the draft was last week, and I'm tired of talking about the draft, and yet now it almost means something. It's getting pretty meaningful right now, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's also a lot of nonsense every day. You know, you turn on your computer and you see more BS. It just goes on and on and on. And I think, you know, people are just throwing things against the wall to see what sticks.
Well, that's why we got you on to cut through the nonsense. Before we talk about the draft, you know what occurred to me, Greg, when I reached out to you this week? Last time we had you on was during free agency, and the Bills had acquired Corey Graham, who you had, and Chris Williams, by the way, both of whom you had with your team in Chicago when you were there. And you wanted to tell us a story about Corey Graham and how I think it had to do with drafting Corey Graham and your daughter. You remember that story? We never got. I totally forgot to ask you about it 6 weeks ago when we had you on the show.
Well, no, we were in our meetings, you know, leading up to the draft, and we were talking about Corey and Lovie, because he didn't play much as a senior, Lovie wasn't, you know, 100% sold. And, you know, out of the blue, I just said, you know, Lovie, I said, my daughter ran track with him. I said, they were in the same track club. She knows him well. And she's told me that he's the most dedicated athlete that she's ever been around. And I said, the reason she told me this is I called her up. I said, I need some dirt. There's got to be some dirt on this guy. And she said, Dad, there isn't any. You know, so that's a short version of the story.
Yeah, that's going the extra mile, I guess, right? And you know, that's the kind of thing, Greg. We had a guest on last night, an agent you probably know, Jack Bechta, who was talking to us about you know, there's all, and I think you feel the same way about all the mock drafts, all the amateur opinions out there. But teams, and in your position with the Bears, have scouts who do that kind of research, who knows somebody, or has a relationship with a coach. That's something that a lot of these mock draft experts don't have going into this thing, right?
No, all they do is they look at needs, and then they, you know, try to project a player to what a primary need is or a secondary need is, and also, you know, what without reaching on the board, staying within how they have their board. But, you know, no team's going to tell you anything, especially this time of the year. You know, they're not going to say, oh, we want this player. I mean, that's the last thing they're going to do. If they're going to tell you anything, it's going to be a lie just to, you know, to throw people off.
We're live on the line with Greg Gabriel, 30 years as an NFL personnel man. If you have comments or questions for Greg, 803-0550, the number to call, or toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. A lot of talk today here in Buffalo, Greg, and even on the show for us the first hour, about Todd McShay's note that he claims that three different sources have told him the Bills, sitting at number 9, are interested in moving up in the draft, possibly to get Jadeveon Clowney or Greg Robinson or maybe Mike Evans. First of all, what do you think of that report?
Well, being that it came from McShay, I don't believe it. But if Mel said it, then there might be some credibility to it. But it wasn't Mel. No, I can't buy into that one. And, you know, I can buy in if they wanted to move up a couple slots. You know, that's reasonable. What you got to give up to move into the top three, and that's what you'd have to give up to get any of those three players, is a king's ransom. You know, when you look at the trade sheet, you know, they'd have to give up a ton of points, and most likely they'd have to give up next year's number one, plus obviously this year's number one, and probably another couple picks this year. And Buffalo's not in a position to go after one player. You know, they need a lot of good, solid football players that can help them win. They're still building the program. They're not there yet. So I just can't see, you know, Doug doing something like that. You know, he was brought up in football at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh never did anything. I mean, could it happen? Yeah, of course it could happen. I just don't think it's a real wise idea at this time of building a foundation for this team.
You mentioned the trade sheet, and I don't know if all our listeners are familiar with that. I use it. I have it on my computer right now. Draft value chart, basically arbitrary numbers assigned to each round, each pick. Do teams use that, and is that valid? I mean, should we look at that when you try to analyze some of the draft trades that are made in the next week or two?
Well, teams use it as a guide, and every team has their own value board or value sheet, so to speak. So the point system might not be exact. from team A to team B, but it's still, it's a guide. Is it exact? Do you have to have it exactly match out according to the numbers? No, but in certain drafts, you know, picks have maybe a greater value, a premium to what the point chart says, or it might, you know, in case like last year, you didn't have any star quarterback that was going to go high in the first round. So in order to trade up, you probably didn't have to pay as much last year as you would this year. There's some good football players. And, you know, and to go back to that trade thing, give you an example. Buffalo's sitting at 9. They're going to get a good football player at 9. I did a story that's going to be on the National Football Post tomorrow. It was basically going back to the 2011 draft, looking at how that first round came out 3 years later. There was 12 players already in that first round that have gone to the Pro Bowl, which is a remarkable number. Buffalo had one of them in Marcell Dareus. But when you were sitting, you know, where Buffalo's sitting at 9, they had Tyron Smith, a big tackle from USC, went to the Cowboys. He's been to the Pro Bowl. And then two spots later, at 11, J.J. Watt went there. So look at the value you got staying where you are in that draft, and this draft's supposed to be stronger.
One point you made that I don't want it to be overlooked either is the fact that right now, Greg, the Bills have just 6 draft picks available this year, 9 days from now. That doesn't give them much capital to work with when it comes to moving around the draft board, does it?
No, you've got to have extra picks. And if you're going to move up, you know, to move up into those premium slots, you have to pay. There's no way getting around it. Teams aren't going to trade out of that slot unless it becomes a bounty for them, so to speak, because they get a lot of picks for it, a lot of extra picks. It's worthwhile to them. Buffalo doesn't have that ammunition. That's what, you know, when I saw the rumor this afternoon, the first thing I looked at was I double-checked how many picks they had, and I said, oh, this is ludicrous. They're never going to get up there. I mean, they'd have to give up some players, some top-quality players probably, and picks to get up into that top 3 spot.
I want to talk to you about some of those players, but we do have some phone calls lined up. We're on the line with Greg Gabriel, who writes for the National Football Post, writes the director's report about scouting and talent evaluation. He did it for 3 decades in the NFL. He's the former director of college scouting for the Chicago Bears. We'll take a call here from Manny in Hamburg. Manny, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you very much, John. I love the job you're doing. You're doing a great job.
Thanks.
My question is this. Everybody seems to be forgetting the Bills' main problem last year, aside from the quarterback, was stopping the run. And I think if I had to move up at all, it would be to get Khalil Bell. And if not, I would trade down and get more picks, like your guest says. I think the more cracks you get at the apple, the better chance you got of scoring.
Okay.
And so I'll hang up and listen to what you guys say.
Khalil Mack from UB, or moving down. I want to get you to Khalil Mack in a second here, Greg, but what about moving down in the draft, especially in a draft that many people think is deep?
I've always thought moving down is good business, especially when you're not sitting with a lot of picks. Now, if you go into the draft and you already got 10 picks, then you've got ammunition to move up, and obviously you've already got a lot of picks to create depth on your team. But by moving down, you're going to, even if you only move down 4 or 5 picks, you're going to pick up where they are in the, let me look at the chart. I think they probably move down 4 or 5 picks, they're going to get at worst a third-round pick, and they might even get better than that. You know, so that's good business for them because, you know, chances are the player they take at 9 might be there at 12 or might be there at 13.
That's an interesting point. Here's a call for Greg Gabriel from Joe in Amherst. Joe, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? Greg, just a few points. You know, I get so many people that say, you know, the Bills are a few players away, and I just laugh, and I look at, if you added Calvin Johnson to this team or J.J. Watt last year, we're 6-10. You put Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady on this team, we could be 9-7, 10-6. And for the Bills, and I will say this, and Doug Whaley saying that we don't want competition for quarterbacks, I can't imagine any business in America not wanting to better themselves. And I'm not saying to use a first-round draft choice on a quarterback. Identify with your 5 billion scouts who that potential quarterback, if it's a second, third round, whoever it is, you need to bring and keep drafting a quarterback until you get it right. If Manuel's not the guy, this franchise is set back another 2, 3, 4 years. And if they do trade up to get a Clowney or Watkins, those guys are clowns over there, because what does it do? This isn't like when we did it with Cornelius Bennett. We had a Hall of Fame quarterback. We had a great team around him. We aren't anywhere close to that. And if you add that and then you give up future first-round draft choices, this team will be set back another 5 to 7 years.
All right, a lot there, Joe, for Greg Gabriel. I don't know where to start with that, Greg. First of all, E.J. Manuel. I mean, are the Bills foolish not bringing in quarterbacks to compete with him? Some people think so.
It's always good to have competition. There's no question about that. I think when you look at E.J., I thought he played pretty good football, and I think I saw every game he started. What hurt him, and I'm not going to say it set him back, but really hurt his development is he missed practice time because of injury, and he missed play time because of injury. So he's not as far along as you would want him to be right now. But, you know, watching him last year, and I was doing some work in Philadelphia last year, and I did all the quarterbacks. You know, he was a very interesting guy to look at. He had a lot of upside. I think they did a great job with him. But the jury's still out, and they're going to know a lot more about him at the end of the season. Now, if they don't draft another quarterback in a premium round, are they setting themselves back? No, I don't think so. There's going to be some other veterans that are still going to be out there. You have to have a quality backup. There's no question about that. But, the guy they have right now, Thad Lewis, from Duke, he played pretty good football for him last year. You know, and arguably actually played better than Manuel did when he was in the game. But he's also a player that's had some experience. And with his athleticism, he brought an element that, few people have.
Well, and as long as we're talking quarterbacks, and if we're going to talk, down the line quarterbacks, Greg, I don't know how much research you've done into quarterbacks, but, I mean, should the Bills look at A.J. McCarron or Aaron Murray or Logan Thomas or Tom Savage or somebody like that in the second, third, or even fourth round, do you think?
Well, I personally wouldn't touch Savage in the second round. All of a sudden in the last few weeks you're starting to hear his name, and, all during the season he was an afterthought. He's a big guy with a big arm, and that's all I see right now. I don't see accuracy. I don't see real good instincts, real good decision-making. But a lot of people fall in love with the arm, and they fall in love with the size. He's a 5-flat or a 4.97 40 guy. It's not like he's going to create plays with his feet. So I personally wouldn't go near him. And the same with Logan Thomas. They're really very similar. Logan Thomas is a big guy with a big arm, but he's not a very good quarterback. McCarron, I think, is going to go in the second round. I think he's going to be a really good pro player. He might, three or four years down the road, he might be one of the better quarterbacks in this class. Hmm. And then you got guys like Jimmy Garoppolo from Eastern Illinois. He's still raw, needs some developing, but he's got a very quick release. He's accurate. He can move around pretty good. He's got a chance to develop and challenge in another year or so.
Garoppolo, we had him on the show now at the Senior Bowl, Greg. I love the kid. Is he a second rounder?
He could be. It depends. But I say, personally, I only think two or three quarterbacks are going in the first round. I don't think maybe one goes in the top 10. I think, the draft picks have the quarterbacks going high. I talked to a general manager yesterday, and we were just talking generally, and I've known this guy for a long time, so it wasn't that he wasn't going to BS me about anything. But he said he only had two quarterbacks rated as first-round players, and neither of them were in the top 15 on their board.
Hmm. And what are we talking about? I mean, who are your best quarterbacks, Manziel and Bridgewater?
Not Bridgewater. Manziel is an interesting guy because of the way he can extend plays and create plays with his feet. But if you take a player like Manziel, you better play into his strengths. You've got to run your offense similar to what Seattle does, a lot of rollouts, bootlegs, that type of thing, where he's making plays on the run. Because if you think he's going to sit back in the pocket and make a lot of throws, it's not going to happen. He just doesn't have the size. He's not going to be able to see receivers over the middle of the field on a consistent basis. So, you've got to design your whole offense to fit to his strengths. Bridgewater, I think, is he really went downhill this year. He started off good. He had a good junior year, and then, a good sophomore year, and then I thought his play leveled off and actually went downhill during the course of the season. He's got very average accuracy once you get more than 15, 20 yards down the field. And the one thing I noticed on tape, he seldom throws a ball before the receiver makes a break. In the NFL, that ball gets picked all the time.
Who was your first-round quarterback then, Manziel?
And... Actually, I've got Carr number one and Manziel number two.
Interesting. We're on the line with Greg Gabriel. He is a former college scouting director for the Bears, writes for the National Football Post. His column is The Director's Report. A few minutes left with him if you have a comment or a question. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Mark in New Jersey. Hello, Mark. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, John. I wanted to ask, Greg, how big of a percentage of the information that these teams leak? I mean, how much is of it true, how much of it's false, and what's the biggest motivation for leaking it? And I wanted to ask him something that he's personally leaked, possibly floated, just to throw the league off or other teams off, and why did he do it?
Good question. Can you answer that one for us, Greg?
I'm going to say 80 to 90% is false information. You know, they might tell you, yeah, we have a need at a certain position. That's going to be true. But who they like, they're never going to say that. You know, you're not going to, you know, like with trade talks right now and, you know, the supposed trade talks that the Bills have had, Buffalo's not going to tell the teams they're talking to the players they want. That's the last thing you do. You just say, hey, you know, we're interested in moving up. Are you interested in moving now? Come to draft day. And basically the conversation is that. It lasts, you know, maybe a minute, and that's about it. You never get into depth until the day of the draft because you don't know what's going to happen. But as far as the information that's leaked, most of it's false and purposely put out false. There's, you know, you're hoping that somebody picks up with it. Everybody knows everybody else is lying. I used to say, you know, to the media here, I said the first thing I got to do after the draft is go to confession because of all the lies I've told, you know. And I think that's the case with everybody around the league. You just kind of laugh it off because – And the stuff that's coming out now, I don't even think it's coming from teams. I think people are just making it up because something's, you know, they got an extra 2 weeks to write, so they got to throw something out there.
Greg Gabriel is our guy, and you got a problem with Todd McShay, it appears, Greg.
Not that it's a problem. He's just never right.
No problem at all. Greg Gabriel is our guest. He writes for the National Football Post, the Director's Report. He did a column the other day about who's number one and who should be. Number one at the top of your draft board, I think, might surprise some people, Greg.
Well, Clowney has the best grade, but I don't trust Clowney, and that's because of the way he played this year. The guy's a great football player. I mean, you recognize the traits. You know, I was with the Giants for 17 years. Most of that time, Lawrence Taylor was there. Clowney has got traits like a Lawrence Taylor has. I'm not saying he's Lawrence Taylor. I'm saying he has those kind of traits. He can dominate a defensive game like few players have, you know, like a Bruce Smith dominated when he was in his prime. But this past year, he had 3 sacks. He didn't show up. He basically quit on his team this year, played not to get hurt. Now, who's to say that's not going to happen once he gets into the NFL? We don't know if it's going to happen. We don't know if it isn't going to happen. But the team that picks him has got to be worried about that. Where the guy that I would take over him is the big tackle from Auburn, Greg Robinson. He's only played 2 years. He redshirted 1 year. He's a third-year sophomore. Played 2 years, started at left tackle. Basically in a run option, read option type offense. He hasn't really developed all his pass blocking yet. He's 330 pounds. He runs a sub-5 flat. He's a rare athlete for a guy that big, and his upside is just tremendous. I mean, he's got Pro Bowler written all over him. I haven't seen a talented tackle like this in years.
When I saw your mock draft, which is now just about a week old, you had 3 offensive tackles going in the first 5 picks, which shouldn't surprise us based on what went down last year. But that's a lot, those 3 going in the first 5 picks.
Well, I think all 3 of those guys are very talented guys. And when you look at Jake Matthews, obviously, you know, the genes are good. His cousin is a top player for Green Bay. His dad was a Hall of Famer with the Houston Oilers. This guy's he's going to be a great player. Lawan plays with a nasty streak. He can pass block. He can run block. He's played, you know, 5 years of college ball, redshirt year, and 4 years as a starter at left tackle. These are really solid football players. Last year when I was doing work for Philly, I made school calls at Michigan and Central Michigan a day apart. And I saw Lawan one day and Eric Fisher the next day. Fisher was first pick in the draft, and Lawan's a better football player.
Wow. As I told you a minute ago, we always root for the players who come on our show at the Senior Bowl. Garoppolo was one. Another one was Zach Martin, the Notre Dame offensive lineman. Does he belong in the conversation with those top three tackles, and where does he belong in the first round?
I think he's going to go somewhere in the teens. The only thing that works against Zach Martin is his size compared to the other guys. You know, the other guys, Lawan is close to 6'7". Robinson's over 6'5". Matthews is a little over 6'5". Where, you know, Martin is 6'4". He's 308. He's not going to get any bigger. He might get to 312, 313. A little shorter armed. He doesn't have quite 33-inch arms, and line coaches love those long arms, especially on tackles. But from a technique standpoint, he's very sound. He hasn't missed a start in 4 years. Another guy has played 5 years, redshirted, and then started 4 years at Notre Dame. Very, very consistent player. I know his line coach very well. He was with us at the Bears for 5 years, and Harry, he stands his name, and Harry just raves about him.
In your mock draft, again, just about a week old or so, you have the Bills going to North Carolina tight end Eric Ebron. Tell me about him, Greg, and does he warrant ninth overall?
Yeah, I think so. You know, he's what everybody's looking for right now in the league at the tight end position, if you want to call it tight end, because they play flexed out. But, you know, he's got wide receiver athleticism. He's fast. He can change direction. He's fluid. He can make the tough catch, adjust to the ball. You know, he can separate getting in and out of cuts. But the one thing he can do that a lot of the tight ends can't do in today's game is he's a pretty good blocker. He's not a great blocker, but he's at the enough level, or maybe even above the enough level. And I think that's going to help him when he gets into the league, because you can use him in two different ways. You can use him as a wide tight end, or you can use him flexed out. But he's going to play right away.
Hey, Greg, you know, they always say you got to wait 3 years to evaluate a draft. It sounds like in your latest posting for National Football Post, that's exactly what you've done, to look back 3 years. That's coming up soon on the website?
I thought it was going to be up today, but I guess that they're going to put it up first thing in the morning. But, when I went through it, I tell you the truth, I was kind of surprised that there was already 12 Pro Bowlers out of that first round. That's an amazing stat.
Hey, Greg, great information. We thank you very much for coming on with us. We'd like to cut through all the baloney with guys like you, and we've only got 9 more days left of this speculation stuff, so I think we'll survive.
Well, I hope the Bills do well. They've always been my first love.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Gabriel, 30 years in the league as a personnel man, including a stint with the Bills, the New York Giants, and he's the former director of college scouting for the Chicago Bears. You can see his stuff on the National Football Post, nationalfootballpost.com. He writes the director's report. Put a post up there the other day, who's number one and who should be. He's got his mock draft up there, and as he said a moment ago, he has some thoughts on the draft from 2011, 3 years old. You're supposed to wait 3 years to evaluate the draft. That's what he's done.